This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
It's a new era for UCLA men's volleyball. The Bruins have their sights on the national championship, which will be hosted at Pauley Pavilion this year. And one of the members of the new staff is assistant coach Brad Keller, who joins us on Bruin Talk. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We were joking off the air. Is your team ever going to play something that's not a five-set match?
I don't think so.
It's been a long season already.
We're trying to get extra practice in, so it's just a lot of work, and we're learning a lot of new systems. I think it's just going to take some time. But
how is the pressure of playing in those five-set matches early in the season going to pay off down the road?
You know, the older I get, the less pressure it is because you've just been through it so many times. So I just think it's, you know, just there's no pressure really in reality. I mean, it's just you just play. It's what we do, it's what we do best, and it's the last set, so you just get after it and see what happens.
This is your first year here at UCLA, as we mentioned in the intro. Have you seen any challenges that were unexpected? Coming together as a new staff with a new team is going to be hard anywhere you're at, but has there been anything that's unexpected?
Nothing that's unexpected. I think anytime you bring in a new staff and you create a new culture, you're going to have a little bumps along the way. I think it's a good learning curve for these guys. I think we dropped the program from 40 guys down to 20 guys. It's more of a tight-knit family. It's really hard to replace a legend. I think that's the biggest thing. You can't replace Al Skates. So we got to make our own identity, and it's just going to take time to do that.
How big is it for UCLA to host the national championship here in your home floor?
I think it's really important. I think UCLA being good at volleyball is very important for our sport. I think that since, you know, Los Angeles, Orange County are kind of the hotbeds for volleyball, I think it's really important to host as much as possible. Last year, the other school that we don't talk about hosted, and they had a really good crowd there, and they got to play in it. So you had a big attendance, and it was a lot of buzz to it, and it was great. And I think that we need to do the same thing here, for sure.
And Coach, tell us about your introduction to UCLA and how you came about at being on the staff here with John Spurra.
Well, my introduction was losing to UCLA as a member of LMU Lions. I came in here, and it was Brandon Taliaferro and Adam Navy and Mark Williams, and they crushed us. And they're great guys. They're awesome volleyball players. I played a lot with them over in club, and they're just good guys. But as far as UCLA, I've always wanted to be a Bruin. And John and I became friends, and I've coached a lot of different places. And so over time, you just want to continue getting back here. And John goes, hey, I'm going to UCLA. And I raise my hand and go, I want to go. I really want to go. So that's kind of how it happened. And, you know, here we go. Let's get after it.
John Spurra played at UCLA, then a successful coaching career at UC Irvine, took him to the national championship. This year, the Bruins have played Irvine three times already, counting the October match, and Irvine's come out on top all three times. How awkward has that been?
Not at all, actually. Everyone asked me that, too. So everyone goes, ooh, we got old versus young, the old Spurra versus the new Spurra, and what's going to happen, and playing against Niff and his, you know, all this stuff, and it's really not. You know, I think all that stuff got worked out in the fall. Seeing, you know, when you're a group of guys and your coach or leader leaves you, that's a tough thing to handle for a young man to, or anyone to deal with. So I think that got taken care of in the fall. I think it's just volleyball. It's them versus us, a competitive. It's been tight matches. We're not far off. Yes, we'd like to beat them. Yes, we want to win national championships, there's no doubt, but I think all this just takes time.
11-15 in the fifth set in the last match against Irvine, but one number that was disturbing probably was one service ace, 19 service errors.
Yes.
Is that something the team is working on, or is it right now just trying to see how much you can push the envelope?
Always work on serving. We probably serve about 40 or 50% of the time in practice, and it is a focal point. And we concentrate, we're very mindful. It's a term we use in our gym, is being mindful about what we're doing. And we're very mindful about serving. Serving just takes time, and it's one of those things where we just say, just add water, let it go. It's gonna come around. But the more time you do something, the better it is. If you want to do a trick on a skateboard, you practice it, and you're not very good for a while. But after a while, and a couple bumps and bruises, you become good at it. So I think it's just going to take time. One ace, 19 service errors, yeah, it's not that great. But 19 service errors and 6, 7, 8 aces, now we're talking. And I think people get confused. Oh, 19 service errors. Well, you got to put pressure in this game. You got to be able to push the envelope, like you said.
Well, you answered my next question, because my next question is no aces and one service error going to be a better result? And it's probably not, because you're going to be on the defensive the whole
time. Exactly. I mean, if we're serving the ball easy in there, the other team becomes in system, which means they have all their options, and now we're on the defensive, and it's not that great. It's like not putting any pass rush against a quarterback and give them all the time in the world. Eventually, the receivers are going to get open. So you want to create pressure to eliminate some options. You can eliminate a middle blocker. You can eliminate an opposite. They have to run one way and jack up a high ball, which is out of system. Now it becomes more of, we have the opportunity to possibly turn a point there. And that's kind of where the service pressure comes from, and the frustration of missed serves from the fans that go, why can't they just get the ball in the court? So
I want to talk about your volleyball experience outside of UCLA for a little bit. You founded the Beta Bay Volleyball Club up in Northern California. What inspired you to do that?
My brother. So my brother's 7 years, we're 7 years apart. I was at LMU, and they cut our program my junior year due to Title IX, and I was angry, of course. Young kid doesn't understand. So I was pretty angry about it. My brother wanted to play, and we live in Santa Cruz, California, and all the volleyball clubs were down here in LA. So I said, look, we'll put together a team, we'll train in the fall, and then I'll send you down to the people I know in LA, and that way you'll get all the attention, and everything's going to be great. Well, all of a sudden, all these kids walked in, like 30 kids walked in and said, we want to play. And I looked at my mom, my brother, and some of my friends, and I said, we can, it's going to be a lot of work. And my brother said, I don't want to go to LA, let's do it. So that's how it started. And it was basically all about my brother at first. And then it just became between one team, two teams, and now it's up to 12 teams every year. And it's a powerhouse up there. Volleyball up in NorCal, when we started, was about three teams, and now there's about 90 to 100 teams up there in Northern California. So volleyball is growing. We take a lot of pride in it. My mom needs to retire, so if she watches this, she needs to retire, travel, have some fun. But, you know, it's good.
Well, volleyball is going to get a lot of exposure, the women in the fall, and now the men on the Pac-12 network. And they're showing a lot of the MPSF matches. You play in the best volleyball conference in the country, Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. How is the added TV exposure going to help your sport at the college level?
It's going to be great. It's flat out just going to be great. We don't get a whole lot of TV until it's the Final Four and then the finals. And, you know, a lot of people don't. The more it's on, the more people watch it, the more we don't have to explain what a libero is and what we get to do some things. And any sort of exposure is great. It helps the growth of the game. Now, it kills our schedule. Like, we play on Tuesday, and then we travel up on Wednesday, and then we go play this. So tomorrow we play at Cal Baptist. And then we fly out to Provo, Utah on Friday, and then we play, you know, BYU on Saturday, fly back on Sunday, and then we have to get ready to rock and roll for Hawaii coming here. So, but that's, we don't care about that. We want TV, we want exposure. I want to stop explaining why we're missing so many serves and why we have a position called a libero and why he wears a different colored jersey.
About a week ago at a women's basketball game, Keith Erickson was in the house, and he was not only a great basketball player on Coach Wooden's teams, but he was an Olympic volleyball champion and a champion here at UCLA. How great is it knowing that there's a tradition that goes back that far at UCLA?
Well, it's the ultimate. I mean, you talk about all the alumni that comes. Al Skate's retirement party was a perfect example. So I'm here, I'm in there, and all of a sudden you've got St. John Smith and Karch Karai. I mean, you name all the Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons, and everyone is there. And they all played for UCLA, and they're all in the same room talking stories about Al Skates and mocking his voice, which they do a really good job of. And you realize how humbling it is and how big of a tradition this is. I've been around a lot of good programs, medium programs, and you don't have the history that UCLA volleyball has. It is the ultimate.
Graduating in 2002, you're kind of on the younger end of the coaching staff here at UCLA. You're very welcome. I know you'd appreciate it. But how do you think your more recent playing experience is helping mold how you approach your young players?
Well, first of all, I got in it because relating to kids has been a thing I love to do. I think Andrew does a great job of it. I think John does. We all do a great job of it. It's all about the people. And so when you can relate age-wise, it buys you time to actually learn what you need to learn. So I didn't know a whole lot when I first started, and so you have that connection with kids, and so you're able to talk through it. Now, I've been in this for, I think, 7 or 8 years, and now 12 years if you include clubs, so there's a lot of experience there, good, bad, or indifferent. So now you have some stories, and now you have some things, and it's all about mentors, and you can't get a better mentor than John, and I've had some other good ones as well. So now it becomes a lot easier, so this is how you do it, and here's how and why, and what are your thoughts, and we can still have that connection. You know, Marv Dunphy at Pepperdine acts like a 32-year-old. I mean, it just depends on how you are. And I think personality can win over a lot of different things. So I think I went off on a tangent there. But to answer your question, I think a lot of experience has helped me to relate to kids, and then we can problem solve together. I think that's kind of what we need to do.
As the team gets into the heart of the MPSF schedule, you got your eye on the prize at the end of the year. How would you assess the team's progress to this point?
It's been a progress. I mean, it's we say just add water. I just say that. John doesn't say that. But I say that. But it just takes time. And we brought in a lot of different systems. We brought a lot of different ideas. Some of the guys like, some of the guys don't like. So it just takes time. We always talk about process. We always talk about get rid of your ego. We always talk about what it is to help the team out, what you need to do. We talk about mindful. We talk about a bunch of things, and I think that over time that's going to get better. I think we're right where we need to be. The league is so up and down, and teams that shouldn't be beating teams are beating teams. And, I mean, the first-place team already has 2 losses. We're not even halfway through. So I think it's up for grabs. I think it's about getting one of those 8 spots in the MPSF playoffs, and then let's just go.
And a reminder to the fans that the matches that aren't on Pac-12 TV, if they're at home, they're streamed live on Pac-12 Live. And we also have audio for all the matches. I'll be with you at Pepperdine when you face Marv Dunphy and his team. So the UCLA volleyball season right in full swing. Brad Keller, thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
And we'll be right back with more UCLA Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Emily Donahoe of Women's Water Polo as our Student Athlete of the Week. In 4 matches at the Stanford Invitational, Emily scored a total of 8 goals to lead UCLA to a 3-1 record at the event. Her attacking efforts led UCLA in victories over number 11 Hawaii, number 4 California, and number 14 Indiana. Congratulations, Emily, and good luck with the rest of the season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
And when you visit UCLABruins.com, you can read about one of the programs on campus that has had a meteoric rise to national prominence. It's women's rowing, and they have their sights set on another great finish this season. We are very pleased to be joined by assistant coach Justin Price and port starboard rower Alexa Farafontoff. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you for having us.
We talk about the women's rowing program. It really has been in a remarkable rise to prominence. Alexa, how important is it to you to be part of that?
It's so important. I mean, coming here my freshman year and just seeing the rise of the team every single year and going to nationals last year and getting first place in our boat at San Diego Crew Classic was just amazing.
Coach, last year the team placed eighth at the NCAA championships, and as we mentioned, that was an incredible finish. But you're always looking for more. So what has the team been doing in the offseason and in this early part of the season to prepare for an even better finish at this year's national championships?
Yeah, well, just a lot of the same thing and just trying to get a little bit better. You know, we say we want to get 1% better every day in training, and it's just making progress, and it's just a process, you know. So we're doing a good job working hard every day, getting better technically, getting better physiologically, and then obviously working on the mental side of it too. So far, so good. We're looking forward to kicking off the season in about a month.
Alexa, you heard him talk about mental and physical. It's quite a balance, isn't it?
For sure, yes. We physically work out so much, our whole bodies, and then you have to be mentally prepared, like even at the starting line, and just practice in general. Get ready for the workouts.
Your season's really just getting underway now, and you're in meets now. You're not on the ergometer working out in solitude. You're on the ergometer so much of the time, and now you're out on the boat. Tell us the thoughts that go through your mind right before you start the race.
I mean, just complete focus. You're sitting there, you get your blade locked in, and you just wait for that flag to drop and then to say attention, go.
Little things make a difference. Technique and strength, both very important. How do you find the balance?
I mean, we row in smaller boats to really get, like, practice our technique for getting the oar in, and then in the eights we like really go with power pieces and focus more on that, and then they combine together and make a great stroke.
Alexa, you're a senior this this season. You've been through a lot, as we've been talking about. You've seen the rise of this program, and you were an integral part of that. But looking back, what is one of your favorite memories been going into this final part of your last season?
I would have to say San Diego Crew Classic last year. It was just phenomenal. We did really well in our heat, and then so we made the grand final, and we just like there was no pressure to do well, so we just like went out and like completely like focused just to get maybe the top three, and then we ended up winning. So it was amazing. It was the best experience of my life.
Coach, I love this part of your job description. One of your duties is described as identification, development, and coaching of walk-on athletes. Does that involve going out to Bruin Walk and seeing who's over 6 feet?
It does, exactly, yeah. So we're a unique sport that way, and at the beginning of the year, we want to supplement our recruiting class every year, and we want to find some great athletes that are at UCLA that aren't, you know, competing in a sport and they don't know anything about rowing when they start. We get a good number of athletes at a place like UCLA to try out for the team every year. We put them through a two-week tryout process, and then we make cuts at the end of that 2 weeks of those that we think can compete at this level. And it's really fun to work with them and take them to the Division I level and, you know, see what they can do.
It's got to be fascinating to see the thought process of somebody who'd never considered competing at that level suddenly in that pressure cooker. It's got to be wonderful.
Well, it's a great thing to watch and to help teach them and bring them along. You know, they grow so much over the course of a 9-month season as freshman walk-ons, from not even knowing what an oar is to at the end of the year, and in a lot of cases competing at the Pac-12 and the NCAA championships. It's fun. It takes a lot of hard work, and it's, you know, I think if you ask any one of them, those walk-ons that compete in the top seats, it's probably the hardest thing they've ever done. But it's incredibly rewarding to watch it as a coach and to help facilitate that development.
Alexa, how about you? How did you get involved in rowing? Were you one of those lucky ones that were plucked off Bruin Walk, or did you have some experience previous to UCLA?
Yes, I started my freshman year in high school, so I had the opportunity to be able to join a club, because I know a lot of people can't because they don't have a lake or body of water near them. So I rowed at Lake Natoma, and now I'm in my eighth year of rowing and all. So,
take us through kind of a typical day. What? How much of your time is spent on the water? How much of it is spent in the gym? How much of it is spent on the mental aspects of rowing?
On Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, we have our morning rows and then an afternoon erg/conditioning session. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays we have rowing, and then we go to weights. And weights is broken up between lifting and track workout.
And when you talk about the morning row, that's early morning, isn't it?
Yes, very early.
Now, does the weather play a part in how you train?
Yeah, we can row in the rain, but we can't row when there's lightning. And then lately we've been having a little bit of fog, so we can't go out when it's really foggy, but then once it clears up, we're just fine.
One of the great things about UCLA rowing is that you have your races down in the Marina Channel, and people can actually follow you up on the banks and watch the whole race. That's something that not a lot of schools have.
For sure, yeah, it's awesome.
How's it feel when the people are out there cheering for you?
It's awesome. I mean, I know, like, when you're racing, you can't really hear them because you're so in the zone, but when you're watching other races and you see people's going crazy, like, cheering, it's fun.
Justin, I want to talk to you a little bit about the recruiting process. One of your job titles as well is recruiting coordinator, as we talked about. How easy is it to recruit kids to come out and row in this beautiful weather? They get to go down to the marina. It's got to be pretty easy to get kids to want to come here.
Well, definitely. I think that UCLA obviously sells itself in a lot of ways. And for us, in our sport, being an outdoor sport, we have a huge advantage in that we're in California. We can row all year round. A lot of our competitors across the country, if they're in the Northeast or in colder weather states, right now they can't be on the water. Their lake or their body of water might be frozen. For us, we don't have that problem. And that's a huge selling point for recruits when they're, you know, coming out of high school trying to decide which program they're going to row for. So, you know, having the athletic tradition that UCLA has, the academic excellence, and then being able to row year-round. You know, and if you want to be a great rower, we always tell our recruits, we'll go to a place that you can row year-round. And it's a huge advantage. And so I think, you know, we do quite well in recruiting with all of that stuff to sell these athletes.
Alexa, as an 8-year veteran of the sport, 4 years at the college level, what advice would you have to younger rowers who might just be getting started?
I mean, it's an awesome sport. You, like, in the beginning, it's going to be very challenging to get used to, like, everyday practices, but in the end, it's so rewarding. It's the best decision I ever made.
I know that a lot of our non-rower viewers are always interested about the role of the coxswain at the front of the boat. Tell us how important the coxswain is to you as a rower in the boat.
They're definitely so important. Like, you have to put all your trust in them to make sure that they're steering straight, because if you veer off, you could potentially lose a race. So that's very important. The right calls make all the difference. They make you want to pull harder. So they're very important.
How do you make the adjustments if you're going off course? I mean, how does a coxswain direct you back into a straight line?
They have a rudder underneath the boat, so they just turn it for where we need to turn.
So you're just supplying the power?
Yes, yeah.
And the rhythm of the stroke, is that something that you've got at like a clock in your head, or is the coxswain really keeping you on beat?
The coxswain, yeah, they look at the stroke rating, and they, like, if the stroke is going too fast, they'll calm them down or bring it up, whatever needs to happen.
Justin, I want to talk to you about the workouts. Alexa was talking about a cross between on the water, on the erg, in the weight room, on the track. Most people just think of rowing as just pure arm strength, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, well, it's a full body workout. It recruits a lot of the muscle groups, and it's primarily a leg, legs and lungs is what we say. It's about how strong are your legs, and then cardiovascularly, how fit and how strong are you. So we do a lot of work in conditioning, whether it's on the track, whether it's on the ergometers, whether it's on the water, in order to work on our endurance and our aerobic capacity, and obviously our strength as well. So it requires all of those things. And in a 2,000 meter race, it's about a 6-minute race, a little 6.5 minutes for our varsity 8. And that requires a good blend of power, strength, and also endurance and just fitness.
This year the team brought in a new assistant coach, Victoria Burke. How's that worked out?
She's great. She's great. She comes to us from Virginia, where she won an NCAA championship as an athlete, and then was also a volunteer assistant coach with them last year when they won the national title. So, and she's been on the national team and won medals at the World Championships. And so for us it was a great addition to our coaching staff, and great for the young women on our team to be able to learn from her. She's working with a lot of the freshman athletes, and so she's a great role model for them, and she's a great teacher.
How important is it for you, having been an NCAA rower, to bring that knowledge to coaching now?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important. You know, when you're asking something of the athletes, that you've been through it yourself, and that you know what it's like to be a student athlete, you know, and to know the challenges, know what they're feeling, know what they're thinking. So, because what we're asking of them is obviously hard, it's challenging, but to be able to say, I know what I'm asking. I know what it feels like. I think is a huge advantage. It's important that they know that as well.
Alexa, obviously team chemistry is huge on when you there's eight of you in the boat, four of you in the boat. You have to be all on the same page. But the rowing team in general is pretty large. Mm-hmm. So how do you mesh 50 or however many girls you have on the team? How do you mesh all of those girls together to make sure that when you're out on the water, you're successful?
Yeah, I mean, every year it changes with the girls, so you have a different technique every year. But, I mean, we just really have a great team bond, and you really have to because it's like a huge team sport. So, I mean, you have to really have that chemistry and that bond.
Alexa, what's your favorite part of the sport?
Definitely race time. Yeah, I love racing. It's like you put all that hard work in, and you can finally show it out on the water in spring. So.
Is the day before a race something that you can describe, or is waiting the anticipation of getting there?
Yeah, I mean, we have our team dinners, and then we have our meetings, and just you get so riled up in those meetings. You, like, want to race right then, and then you calm down, go to bed, wake up early, and put it all out there on the water.
We talked a little earlier, Coach, about the technique and strength aspects. You've got the athletes all amped up to get ready and get out on the water and get the race started. How do you kind of channel that into something that's going to be really positive when the race starts?
Well, it's really important that they stay calm and that they execute, you know, and we want them to be fired up and we want them to be motivated and channel that adrenaline, but not let it, you know, overtake them and lose control. And we talk to them all the time, and we have weekly meetings where, you know, and obviously we meet before the races and constantly talking about executing and controlling what you're doing and doing it together and channeling that emotion and that adrenaline. It's important.
We talked earlier about how at the marina people can walk up and down and follow the race, but you as coaches, how do you do that at a race? I mean, the girls are out there on the water. You're clearly not in the boat with them, but you want to keep track of what they're doing. So how do you keep up with them?
Absolutely. Well, we're either on the bike path, you know, watching alongside or in the motorboat trailing the race so that we can see it all. Though we're sort of a unique sport and that we're not allowed to coach during the race. You know, so that was actually a violation of the rules for us to do any coaching during the race. And so we can't call a timeout, but we can't even, you know, give them any advice or instruction during the 2,000 meter race at all. So we're just sort of sitting there watching, just spectators.
You give them their wings and then you let them fly.
Exactly right.
Well, we hope you will enjoy watching UCLA rowing this year right down at the Marina Channel. It's a great venue and it's free, and it's a wonderful sport to watch. We hope you follow the exploits of the rowing team on UCLABruins.com. Coach, Alexa, thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed talking to you about your sport.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for having us in your home on UCLA Bruin Talk. Allison and I will be back next week for another great show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.